Our sages tell us that when the Hebrew month of Adar enters, we increase in joy. This joy is to reach its climax on Purim, as the Jewish people celebrate Mordechai and Esther's triumph over the wicked Haman. Because Judaism's calendar is based on the lunar cycle, every 3 years or so, we add a month. So our holidays consistently fall within the same season, keeping the solar and lunar calendars pretty closely aligned. This could not have been more fitting to add a second month of Adar this year. As a worldwide Jewish community, this has been a tough time to channel joy. The rhythms of the universe are in tune with our hearts, and our hearts are heavy. Aside from family and community, my joy needle is hovering over empty. My rabbinic school classmate, Rabbi Dr. Dalia Marks, now professor at the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion, has written and published a gem of a book entitled From Time to Time, Journeys in the Jewish Calendar. In it, she draws on the 1986 film Little House of Horrors. Some of you may remember it. In the film, a seemingly harmless, mysterious plant brings great attention and revenue from a second-rate flower shop. Turns out this plant from another planet lives on human blood and wreaks havoc. It is finally subdued, no longer a threat. So we are led to believe, just when it looks like the movie is moving towards a classic Hollywood ending, the camera pans out from the house to show the manicured lawn and lovely garden in which, to our great horror, is a small and cute plant that is the very likeness of the murderous plant from the shop. Rabbi Marks uses the film as a shared paradigm with the Purim story. The Book of Esther portrays a dramatic, exciting, surprising rescue of the Jews of Persia due to the clever actions of Esther and Mordechai. But like the small murderous plant growing in the manicured suburban garden, the question remains, what will happen next? Who will stand up for those whose doom was decreed and who were then rescued? This time, from threats. Who can guarantee that in another generation or even the very next year, another enemy like Haman won't arise? Where the plant is the antagonist in Little House of Horror, Haman, as you all know, is the antagonist in the Book of Esther. In the exhibit hall at Maidanek Death Camp, there is a display of shoes, glasses, and other items that belong to the victims. Among those items is a Hebrew Bible opened to the Book of Esther. The Book of Esther is opened to a verse directly in each visitor's sight line with these verses. Haman then said to Ahasuerus, There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the other peoples in all the provinces of your realm, whose laws are different from those of any other people, and who do not obey the king's laws. And it is not in your majesty's interest to tolerate them. If it please your majesty, let an edict be drawn for their destruction, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the stewards for deposit in the royal treasury. The Purim story, yes, is a story of deliverance, a story of the ongoing vulnerability of the Jewish people, of security and uncertainty. And my goodness, how can we open the book of Esther this year and not hear it in the context of October 7th, the most devastating day for the modern state of Israel in her 76th year of independence? Rabbi Marks published her book last year, yet she asked questions as if a direct response to October 7th and the alarming rise of anti-Semitism. How, she asks, how can anyone be sure that while they are celebrating, the very plant that tried to kill them is not growing in their own garden? And then Rabbi Marks leads us to face the verses in the book of Esther when the tables have turned. Queen Esther has revealed her identity as a Jew to her husband, the king. The king has Haman impaled and empowers Mordecai and Esther to defend themselves, to avenge themselves on their enemies. Chapter 9 is difficult to stomach. The identified foes of the Jews were killed, including Haman's sons at the king's decree, and a total of 500 men in the fortress of Shushan. And then, further on, we hear of the killing of 75,000 enemies and foes throughout the king's provinces. This story of deliverance and the destruction of our enemies is followed with what we will do tomorrow, the celebration of Purim, a day of feasting and drinking, a celebration. Again, how do we not look at the Esther story through the lens of October 7th and the now 167 days that have followed? Minimally, let's listen to the voices of compassion in Jewish tradition, even for the death of our enemies. We remove, after all, a drop of wine from our Passover cup for each of the plagues in our liberation from Egyptian bondage and for the drowning of Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. Minimally, our celebration is diminished by any loss of life, even our enemies. And my goodness, Israel's Prime Minister, Golda Meir, was no peacenik. Israel would use its power to defend itself against our enemies. And yet, Golda Meir, channeling the spirit of Torah and the Jewish people, said, "We hate war. We do not rejoice in victories. We rejoice when a new kind of cotton is grown and when strawberries bloom in Israel." And in the book of Genesis, our patriarch, Abraham, successfully wages war to rescue his nephew, Lot, who has been taken captive. But a Midrash tells us that rather than emerging from his victory full of triumph and confidence, Abraham is plagued by fear that even one righteous person might have been among those killed. As Rabbi Aviva Richman says, in response to this Midrash, that doesn't mean that Abraham shouldn't have rescued the captives, but it does mean that he was sobered by the losses. Rabbi Marks concludes her reflection on Purim and the Book of Esther saying, indirectly, it reminds us that even if right now the situation is tough, we should hope for better things to come. It reminds us of the not knowing in our lives, but it also invites us to enjoy our lives, to love, to feel, to have mercy, to live a life of kindness, not despite the uncertainty, but precisely because of it. The Book of Esther is found in Kituvim, the writings, the third section of Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible. The very first book that we find in the writings is the Book of Psalms. There could not be a more representative psalm that names the bitterness Jewish people have experienced throughout history to this day and our insistence to rise above all the threats and challenges, to open our hearts to joy. After all, our holiday of Purim that we will celebrate tomorrow evening here, Temple Solel, starting with the Megillah at 5:15, dinner at 6, and a fantastic spiel. Taylor Swift. Tomorrow evening. And this is a culmination of joy in this second month of Adar, the holiday of Purim. Yes, my joy will be diminished this year, yet as a community, our joy will carry the day with a hope for, God willing, peace on the horizon, and hearing the words of the psalmist, they who sow in tears shall reap with songs of joy. Though we go along weeping, carrying the seed bag, we shall come back with songs of joy, carrying our sheaves. Shabbat Shalom.
Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Been.